You know, he mentions, well, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord, our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Lord, as we open your word, we ask that you'd open our understanding. And Lord, we know that it's only by the Spirit of revelation, by your Holy Spirit, that we see, that we hear, that we're touched, that we're transformed. And Lord, it's by your hand in our life, over our life. We look to you, Lord. We commit this time together to you, before you, for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter, we noted earlier that, you know, big burly fisherman Peter now, you know, has a change of vocabulary. You know, precious is one of his favorite words now. And here, beloved. In verse 1, he mentions beloved. Verse 8, beloved. Verse 14, beloved. Verse 17, beloved. Four times, reminding them that they're loved, loved by him, loved by the Lord. We be loved. And interesting how, again, Peter, the big fisherman, changing, becoming more sensitive, how he, in this last chapter, coming towards the end of his epistle here, seeks to wrap it up, and in so doing, he, you know, he says that I wrote these things that you'd be mindful, that you'd, as a reminder, to stir up in your mind things that have been said, things that have been done by the Lord through his word, in his word, that we'd be mindful of them. Wouldn't let them go. Notice in verse 3, he goes on, knowing this first thing to be mindful of, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Mockers will come, tease you, Peter said, about your faith, about your eschatology, about your belief in the Bible, that you believe and hold to Jesus Christ's return. They'll mock the whole idea. Peter said that it's not a new thing. Mockers will come against those who have faith. But he said to be mindful, and I wrote these things as a reminder. And another thing here, in verse 5, to be mindful of, be reminded of. And for this, they willingly forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded by water. You know, to remember, to be reminded of, to be mindful of, that God created the planet, that God created heaven and the earth, that in the beginning God created, spoke things into existence. He's saying, you know, be mindful and to remember what happened, you know, in the early days of mankind during the antediluvian period, where the earth was populated and then judgment came upon the earth during the days of Noah. This be mindful of. Remember, don't forget. He goes on to talk about, you know, the Hebrews, the Bible says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. To be mindful that God created, that we have a creator, that we're his creatures. Next, to be mindful in verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which now exist, are kept in store by the same word. He spoke things in existence. But Peter here mentions that it's by God's word that things are sustained now in the present. We're to be mindful that back God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke things into existence. And in verse 7, we're to be mindful that the, you know, Pastor Chuck says, you know, no one's ever given me a plausible reason why the earth is spinning. How does the earth continue to spin? God's spinning the earth. God sustains us in the present universe, holding all things together. The Bible tells us in Him all things exist, consist. He holding things together in the present by the same word of His power that spoke things in existence. He keeps things together presently. Be mindful of that. It's God and God's power and God's word that sustains us presently now. Don't forget. Yeah, verse 8, he goes on, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Remember this, be mindful of this, that it's God's desire that every man would be saved, that none would perish, but all would repent. You know, don't be mindful. Don't forget. Bring these things to your mind. Peter closing his letter. In verse 10, he goes on, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. You know, be mindful, remember, don't forget that, you know, our past, that God created the heavens and the earth. Be mindful, don't forget our present, that it's God and His word and by His power that He keeps all things together. Be mindful and don't forget that His judgment's coming upon the earth. In future, what's yet future? To be mindful of His plan according to His word. The Bible tells us that, you know, His next judgment upon the earth, He's going to dissolve it with a fervent heat, He goes on to say. He's not going to flood it again. Promises not to judge the world, destroy the world that way. But with fire, He's going to burn it up. It will dissolve. It's what's yet future, the Bible tells us. Peter says, be mindful. You know, don't forget what's up and coming, what will be. Not only what was or is, but what will be. In verse 14, verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct in godliness? You know, what should be our response according to all these things? God created all things. He sustains all things. And judgment is coming, and every man will be accountable to Him in the future. Where to? Peter says, I heard Tozer preach a sermon on this verse. We're to live holy. We're to separate ourselves. We're to be different. We're to look to Him. We're to worship Him. We're to honor Him. In what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Judgment is coming. Nevertheless, in verse 13, we, according to His promise, look for a new heaven, new earth in which righteousness dwells. Yes, you know, God will judge the earth and destroy the earth by fire. But in Revelation 21, the Bible says that the new Jerusalem will come down out of heaven, settle upon earth. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Interesting, you know, in the book of Revelation, everything's in the form of a square. Right now, if you look, you know, the earth is round, the moon is round, the planets are round. But in the new creation, things will be in a square, in a cube form. The Bible tells us about the formation of the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem, like a bride adorned coming out of heaven and coming down upon the earth. New system God will bring forth. And be mindful of that. Yeah, judgment's coming, but a new heaven and a new earth he will make and bring about. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent, verse 14, to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Be good. Be holy. And verse 15, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. And also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written, as Paul has written to you. Peter noting about Paul's letters, you know, and acknowledging him as an apostle, and to honor his writings. In verse 16, also, as also in all his epistles, speaking then of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of these scriptures. Peter noting Paul and proper interpretation of Paul's writing. And verse 17, you therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, what things? The things that he has written about. Last week, Jason was talking about, you know, false teachers and the destruction that a false teacher will bring, you know, to the ruin of your own soul, out to destroy your soul. You know these things, therefore, you know, wise up, therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware, you know these things beforehand, know that he created everything, know that he sustains everything, and know that's what yet future, judgment, a new heaven, a new earth. Beware, he says, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. Beware. Keep your balance. Stay on your feet by faith. Being led away with the error of the wicked. To be careful. To stay in the word. To stay right. But he mentions something here in verse 18 we're going to spend a little time on. He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To grow in grace. That's his closing, you know, comment. You know, be mindful, you know, keep your thoughts on God's Word. You know, he's the Creator. He created everything by the word of his power. He sustains things and judgment's coming. But grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What does it mean to grow in grace? You know, because grace is a gift that we cannot earn. You know, the Bible tells us at Damien Kyle's church in Modesto, everybody's got these bumper stickers on the back of their cars, you know, that the law was given through... that's not even mentioned. It just says, grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. We know that it comes through him, but we're to grow in it, to grow in grace. I got some notes here. Growing in grace has nothing to do with our age. You can be a child or a senior citizen, but God can pour out his grace upon whomever he desires. That's what the Bible tells us. He has mercy on whomever he has mercy. It's up to him. Really, who grows in grace? In Romans, the Bible says, so then, it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. Nor is it how long I've been saved that determines how I grow in grace. You can really grow stuffy and callous the longer you're saved. But Peter's, you know, closes his letter that we should grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. God can reveal something in 10 minutes that, that creates more growth than I have experienced in 10 years. You know, that's a fact. By God's grace, He can touch us at any given time and create and cause more growth in us than the past 10, 15 years. You know, I believe that we have an understanding of what's going on, or we have a perspective of what's going on, and we learn or we rely upon it. And yet the Bible tells us not to. You know, don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. I know I struggle with this big time. This is one of my weaknesses, man. To completely lay down my understanding and cash it in for His. He can touch me or you. You know, it's in the same fashion that we've been saved that God works. He's not any different. He called us. You know, He drew us. And it's by grace that we're saved. It has nothing to do with our age. Nor does it have anything to do with our feelings. It's not estimated by how I feel. When I first met Christ, I really felt His love, His presence. Spurgeon wrote a little thing here. He says, when starting a fire, you first put in the kindling, you know, the leaves, the twigs, and a dead grass. Once lit, you get a good flame going. But once the logs catch and get burning, though you may not have so much flames, it generates much heat. That when the wind blows, it doesn't blow out the kindling, it gets blown out. But the logs, it just accentuates the fire. It gets hotter. The fire burns more. And, you know, it has nothing to do with our age. It has nothing to do with our feelings, but has everything to do with Him. To grow in grace, it's not based upon our circumstances. The kindling goes out, but the logs intensify when the wind blows on them and the heat gets brighter and hotter. It's not based on our circumstances. Our Christian walk, sometimes described as mountain top or valley low experiences. I didn't study a lot. I grabbed an old sermon. I'm cheating tonight. And yet, truth. You know, you can take a midget that's 3 foot, 3 inches high in stature, and put him on top of the Renaissance Center, and he's still the same height as he is when he's down, you know, outside on the ground. You know, mountaintop experiences make no difference in our growth. We experience them, we like them. You know, and valley experiences have no difference in growth. But what makes a difference and what really causes growth is trials, the Bible tells us. Suffering causes growth. Peter talks about that. You know, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you also may be glad with exceeding joy. We're going to experience trials and suffering, and that's really what brings forth growth. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ through suffering, where most of our growth happens. I remember when we went through a time in California when we went through a financial terrible time. And spiritually, it was the best time in my life. I mean, I remember the armor of God was literally real to me. And spiritually, He really enlightened and touched me. But it's through hard times and suffering that we grow. I read this book. It's Don't Waste Your Sorrows. It's about suffering and trials and somebody that went through a lot of it. But in here, there's a little poem about suffering. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and near a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. We grow through sorrow and trials. And Peter, the theme of his first book was, first letter was all about suffering. Sufferings of Christ and the sufferings that, we are to suffer in Him, for Him. Growth comes from suffering. Not just a trial, but how I react to it. I've been going through some things and I fail in my reaction. I've been going through, God's testing me and stretching me and I'm freaking out half the time. And I overreact and I don't respond with faith and I just look at how the problem can grow rather than seeing how He can change the situation, how He can intervene. And through suffering, through testing, through trial, we grow. It's our faith. It has nothing to do with our age, our feelings, or our circumstances. Peter writes, how to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Jesus Christ. In Galatians, Paul says something. He says, who has bewitched you that you should no longer, accept the truth, be in the truth? He says, but the same way that you accepted Jesus Christ, so ye walk in Him. Have you suffered so much? He was talking about, are you now being made perfect in the flesh? Having received the Spirit, it's the same way we grow in grace as we've been converted. It's by receiving the Spirit. It's by His touch. It's by His power. Grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. Past, when we're converted. Present, right now. Future. Grace and truth comes through Him. To grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Peter wraps up his book. Augustine said, love God and do whatever you want. To love Him and to walk with Him. To grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's stand. I don't have a lot tonight, but good stuff. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truth of the account and the record that's in Your Word, Lord, that You've created all things by the word of Your power. And by the word of Your power, all things exist, that You sustain all things. Past, You've created. Presently, You keep things together. In the future, Lord, what's yet to come? Judgment, Your return, the day of the Lord, a new heaven, a new earth. What manner of persons ought we to be since we see these things that are going to take place? But a people, we should be in holy conduct. Lord, the truth of Your word for us to take hold of. We ask, Lord, that You plant Your word in our hearts. And Lord, the truth that it's by Your Spirit and according to Your grace, according to Your mercy that You pour out on us, that we're enabled to grow. And Lord, we believe. We believe that You can touch us and we can change more than how we've grown and changed in the last 10 years. By the word of Your power, by Your touch, and according to Your grace. Lord, we come before you. We thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy to whomever you have mercy upon. We thank you for your invitation that we're to come boldly before your throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. And we turn to you, Lord, to sustain us now and through this time, hard time. And, Lord, keep our faith rooted and strong and centered upon the truth that's in your word. Cause us to be in union with you, walk with you, stay close to you. And, Lord, let us be prepared and adorned as a bride without spot or blemish for your return to await you. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have another song?